We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, Sean, we have dove deep into this board. For people that don't know, we have a little bit of insight into a lot of the players that will be offered on Sunday. We're not going to put names in the universe that have not been offered, because that's the whole point of the event, is that they get to announce it. It's cool. It's different. Let's be a part of it. But we have gotten a chance to really kind of dig into the class. So we wanted to throw out some numbers and just some early observations in 2026, because I think areas of strength and understanding where Notre Dame might be looking at a lot of talents and where the talent might be trending in 2026 is big for Notre Dame. That's from a national perspective, right? Like if this, and we'll talk about this in a second, but like if the state of Illinois is having a down year as far as the number of talent, the level of talent in a particular year, I don't want them going into Illinois just to willy-nilly. Like, I want them to go in with players there and good volume, right? So let's talk about 2026, Sean, a little bit of areas. I want to throw out a number to you, which I thought was very interesting, okay? So this time last year, Sean, one of the main things we kept talking about, and obviously you have a lot of relevance to this because of where you are in Chicago. Last year, we're talking about, man, there's a lot of dudes in Chicago this year, man. A lot of dudes in Illinois. Right? A lot of them. And this time last year, we're talking about, you need to get Christopher Burgess. You need to get Taylen Taylor. You need to go after Dominic Hulak. You need to get all these Illinois guys. And then obviously we found out about a couple of Indiana guys after that, like Mark Zachary and Damian Shanklin. And the home base, though, is strong in 2025. A lot of talents, even some talent that didn't necessarily fit Notre Dame potentially, right? But there's a lot of talent. Going into 2026, Sean, people should expect a lower number of players, at least offered initially in the Chicago, Illinois area and the state of Indiana. We're expecting a very lower number comparative to 2025. It seems like, I don't want to call it a down year. I would just say there's a little bit less volume of great players that Notre Dame is going to be looking at in 2026 compared to 2025. Just a quick observation there.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Well, once again, Notre Dame needs to be in a position because you're talking about a city and an area in recruiting versus, no one says the recruiting in Illinois. No one says that. It's Chicago and the Chicagoland area. That is really the crux of where the big programs come to get the best players. You know, you have some downstate players or some, technically East St. Louis is in Illinois, right? But East St. Louis has consistently been a pipeline to the Big 12 or the SEC for years, right? Notre Dame has capitalized and gotten into the St. Louis area,
yeah,
on the other side of the bridge, and have been very successful being able to get top talent like a Jeremiah Love or a Christian Gray to come to Notre Dame. So now when you compare, you're talking Chicago to, oh, the state of Indiana, the state of Florida, the state of California. Like, Chicagoland is a state in recruiting, you basically, know, even though it's basically a state in recruiting. So people will poo-poo it and say, well, man, it doesn't compare to this. It doesn't compare to that. Yeah, you're comparing a, man, 1/5 of a state or 1/4 of a state to actual states in recruiting. And once again, Notre Dame, the brand, who they are, have to, how the relatability to Chicago and the Chicagoans who grew up watching Notre Dame football and have passed it down for generations, it should be an easy place to plant the flag. And it should be an easy place for kids growing up to say, man, like Jaden Greathouse grew up wanting and watching Texas football, these kids should grow up with the brand of Notre Dame bombarding them as they grow up, right? Even if they don't choose to go, and that puts Notre Dame in position like in 26, where it might not be quantity like the 25 class, but the quality is still there. Yes. And that's what you want in Notre Dame. You want to be in a position where every year the top two or three kids, we can go get the top three kids. We're not trying to get the top five or six or seven. It's different, right? Texas and Texas A&M, they might feel like we need to get the top five or six kids from the state. That's a much larger area. Notre Dame, Chicagoland area, man, let's give us the top three kids. If we can get the top four kids and they're really top-level kids, that's a great year. And it's no different. And this is a year coming off of, this is a great thing, coming off of what people will perceive as one of the biggest misses, right? Because of offer wasn't made last year on March 17th. One of the biggest misses probably.
Well, two years ago, right? 2 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago. Yeah, that would be 2 years ago.
Yep.
Huge miss, definitely impacted things. But now you get in early on these kids, you get the offers, but that's because the work has been done, right? You come from that, you learn from that, right? You get the best defensive lineman in the 25 class, right? There's one thing there in Notre Dame answering the questions that have been there. Yep. They have to improve up front. They get Burgess in 25. They get Hulock, who's interchangeable. Are they going to play him in Viper, linebacker? Is he going to play in? They're answering the questions. They're getting the talent. And this year,
Joseph Reef. Yep.
Absolutely. And this year now, because I wonder if this is what they've recognized. And from a talent evaluator, I would be interested in getting your standpoint. The 26th class, once again, is going to answer or has a chance to answer the defensive front for Notre Dame in the Chicagoland area.
Yes.
And I'm starting to think maybe you identify certain states with certain things, right? And maybe they've identified like, okay, the defensive line, Chicago has the answer. Like, and Indiana, from that standpoint, you know, in 25 and 26, you're getting guys on the defensive line. Maybe they're saying, okay, we don't have to go out and fight to get impact players in these at these particular positions because they're literally in our backyard. And if we can capitalize on these positions in our backyard, I mean, the best up, to be honest, one of the best of them all in 26 has already been identified as probably not a fit. One of the best defensive players in the 26 class.
Yeah.
Defensively has already been identified as not a fit. But the work has been put in. The kid has been on campus. They've done the work. They've gotten to know him. And a decision was made. And you don't have a problem with that. You have a problem when you feel like the work is not being done. And I think that situation has been solved as far as Chicago, Indiana, surrounding areas, because it was an issue, let's say 2 years ago, and it's no longer an issue. This 26th class from a defensive standpoint up front, and that in Chicago has a chance. And you put that on top of 25. You're definitely closing the gap.
I think you make a great point, Sean, because you know what I think of when I think of Chicago? I think of a lot of great basketball players, right? I think of a lot of great basketball. And I ask myself, like, what translates to being a long, athletic, twitched-up dude, right? And defensive line is where that translates to. So I am not surprised at all that Chicago is developing some really talented defensive linemen, right? Like we talked about Christopher Burgess in 2025. Marquise Lightfoot in 2024, like Chicago is getting those types of guys. I mean, even Justin Scott obviously is included in that, but my mind was kind of going more long defensive ends than defensive tackles. But regardless, I start thinking about twitchy, long athletes, and those usually are defensive linemen. And I will tell you guys, again, we can't put names out there, but there is a 2026 Chicago-based defensive lineman that I'm going to be giddy about on Monday when we talk about him, Sean, because I watched his film and I'm like, oh, got it. I'm there, man. I see what you guys see already. And it was funny enough is I don't even think he's really ranked as of now. And I'm just like, oh, well, he will be. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. So, yes, Chicago is going to be important is going to be very important in 2026 for getting a couple instrumental pieces for Notre Dame in 2026. I don't think we'll be talking about the same number of players ultimately from Chicago or even Indiana in this conversation, the home base, but we'll be talking about very important players, which is still obviously essential for Notre Dame to be able to close on there. So we will talk about that moving forward. Obviously, that Chicago, Indiana are spots that Notre Dame needs to be able to get players that they want. There's no excuses to not get a Chicago kid. If he fits, if you love him, you should be able to get that kid almost every single time. Almost every single time. Sean, I wanted to throw a number out there for you because this is, I talked about this on IB Nation Sports, Sports Talk this week. This is wild, man. All right. So if I actually, let me start a conversation this way. I'm going to ask you, give me the top four states in your opinion as far as putting out consistent high-level talents every year, volume perspective.
California, Georgia, Texas. I mean, it's easy to say Florida. I mean, just off the bat, it's Florida, say it again. California, Georgia, Florida, Texas, California, Georgia.
Absolutely. Just, you got it. That's the four. That's the four.
I started to overthink it. You know, then I'm like, no, that's –
Someone said Maine in the chat. Someone said Maine. That is fantastic.
Malik would say Connecticut.
Connecticut is putting out more talent. They're putting out more talent, man.
They are. I think PA. Well, can I take that? I think.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
No. There would be and I'm only saying this because I know Archer probably feels this way. I got Archer. Ohio would have a debate.
Ohio's a very good state.
Yeah.
I would say this. Ohio's a really good state. Pennsylvania's kind of dwindled a little bit. New Jersey's actually a really good state. I know people are going to, you know, call me a homer and stuff for that one, but New Jersey puts out a lot of talent. Like, they typically do. I mean, so there's a couple – I would say there's a couple states that are in that conversation. I mean, like, Alabama's an evolving one as well, but I would say that as far as the top four – I think that it's pretty safe to say that Texas, Florida, California, Georgia are pretty much considered like that's where the talent is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny here. Okay. So funny. Louisiana to a degree, David said in the chat. Yeah. Louisiana is a little bit more volatile in a year to year perspective, but like I'm talking about like the consistency over the last few years. Those are probably the four in my book. So Notre Dame expected, Sean, I'm going to do quick math here. So we're expecting of those four states. Now, remember, I mentioned that there's going to be almost 120 players offered on Sunday. We expect 60 plus kids to come from those four states. 60 plus, which I did the math off the total number. Again, I'm not going to put the exact number out there. 54% of the 120 offers. Okay. 54% are coming from four states, Sean. Four states, 54%, over 60 offers from Georgia, Texas, Florida, California. I don't know why. I shouldn't expect to be shocked by that, but I read that number and I'm like, that's wild, man, to think about that so much talent is isolated in just four states. That's a wild thing for me to think about, man. It really was.
But that is, once again, the foundation that I believe this is what Marcus Freeman would have loved to do from the start.
Yep.
But the brand wasn't strong enough on a recruiting trail to go at it that hard in those states. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, there was recognition, and this is why you do things like Pot of Gold. This is to get the attention, to garner the attention, to bring eyes on Notre Dame. This is why you do that stuff that some people say, oh, that's silly. Yeah, sometimes silly things work. That's what, look at social media is full of silly things where people try to get attention every day. And for some reason, it seems to work for a lot of people. That's why they're called influencers. That's why they make a lot of money as influencers. You know why? Because people, they're drawn to that.
I want to be an influencer when I grow up, Sean. Sounds great. You just drive up attention and you just get money for it, man. It's absolutely fantastic.
Must be nice. But no, absolutely. This is It's absolutely going along with what we pointed out, and I think it's something Marcus Freeman wanted to get to, and I think they've gotten to a point where the foundation of everything that's been laid, the retention of Chad Bolden and Dre Brown, his elevation, yes, and things continuing, and adding to the analyst position at Notre Dame as well, getting coaching staff you want that fits the plan. Everything seems to be aligned now, and now they can go full force into these areas where, you know, where 2 years ago people were like, why aren't they going into these areas? Why aren't they getting kids from this area? That area.
They're not scared anymore.
No. And they will go after one or two or maybe three guys. But we just talked about the state of California. It's low. They are, man, full force going after the state of California this year. Why? Because they laid the groundwork. They built the foundation. They built the relationships with the schools and the coaches. And now there is a love and a respect there that is reciprocal, where they feel like it can be fruitful now for them to go all in on these particular states in 2026. It's not something that you just do. There is a relationship and a connection that have to be built in order to get to that point. And it seems like the staff has already or has finally gotten to that point.
It's a great point, Sean. Absolutely great point. Because so Notre Dame started laying down foundation as soon as Marcus Freeman got here in the state of Texas. Okay. Started laying down that foundation. And now you're seeing it become a consistent thing. First two recruiting classes under Marcus Freeman, six players from the state of Texas. They had three the previous 5 years combined, right? And they would have had, well, technically seven if you count Logan Thomas. He played his senior year in Ohio. If you want, we can say seven in a two-year span there between 2023 and 2024. Would have been eight if they would have signed Peyton Bowen, right? So they are hitting Texas hard. There's no doubt about it. Florida, we're seeing Florida in 2025 right now. Davion Dixon, Justin Thurman, Ivan Taylor, you are hitting Florida a lot harder than you once did. A spot that Notre Dame was not having success in. They were not doing well in the state of Florida. And I think 2025, they still have a chance to impact Florida. 2026, I think Florida's going to continue to be a big state for them. But the one that's interesting, Sean, is California, right? California. Notre Dame's had hits in California. Cooper Flanagan, Rico Flores. Like, they've had hits over the last couple years in Florida and California as, of getting some of their talent. Kingston Villiamuasa, obviously, in 2024. But Sean, I expect of all the states I talked about, the four big ones, okay? The four big ones of California, Georgia, Florida, Texas. Expect on Sunday the highest number of players from a single state to be offered by Notre Dame. Expect it to be California in 2026. This is the next one. We've seen Texas be vital. We've seen Florida be vital over the last couple of years. Notre Dame has tried to get more traction in Georgia. They've gotten a couple kids out of Georgia the last couple of years. But expect California to be very important in 2026. We already talked about the several wide receiver offers in 2026. We also talk about quarterback. Yeah, but Brandon, so Brandon just said California has always been good to Notre Dame. With quality players, Brandon, I agree. But I'm talking about volume in 2026. I'm talking about Notre Dame going out and getting several players potentially out of California. Not 1 to 2 or 2 to 3. I'm saying that volume is going to be a bit higher in California in 2026 is kind of where I'm coming from, because we already have multiple quarterbacks out of the state of California that have already been offered. Talking about Ryder Lyons, Brady Smigel, Troy Hune. We're also talking about wide receivers. Literally four of the five current offers Notre Dame in 2026 are out of the state of California. You should expect the California number to rise on Sunday. And I think California is going to be vital, Sean, in 2026. It's going to be huge.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And that's fantastic. Brandon pointed out the history with, and this is why. Remember, when everything was happening, the super conferences were being formed and the transition and the dissolution of the Pac-12 and teams being added to the Big Ten. And everybody was like, Notre Dame should just move on from Stanford. Notre Dame should. No. Newt Rockne knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah,
he was building a national recruiting database and landscape for Notre Dame as an independent. He knew what Notre Dame was going to have to do to remain viable moving forward. And it still rings true today. Yes. No, you give yourself a season-ending game to highlight your team in California, which turns into a recruiting trip.
Yes.
You get there Friday. Your coaches get there early. They go out to the schools. They talk to the players. They talk to the coaches. You play the game. You win the game. You dominate. You look great. You come back home. You go to the playoffs. Notre Dame and the brand looks great to all of the kids, sophomores, juniors in the state of California. That is what you establish. So, no, I don't care if Stanford's no longer is in the ACC now. No, you keep Stanford. You keep them on the schedule. They pay dividends. Well, they're not a good team. Then go kick their butt and look good doing it. Go make yourself look good to the elite California athletes. It's the same thing. USC is going to be – it's a big game. USC is your rival. It's a big game. And if you beat USC in California, that's huge to those California kids because that's the program they look up to as they grow up in California. So everything, look, man, this is what, the season of alignment in a lot of different ways for Notre Dame, with everything across the board from administration to coaching to recruiting to quarterback play to this team having a top 10 offense with a top, everything literally could be aligning this year to be, wow, that we can point to DeBar to say that was a year in all facets where Notre Dame went to the next level.
Yep.
Like, bookmark this. When they hoist the trophy, bookmark that 24 year when the 26th pot of gold went out.
Sure.
Bookmark that year when everything seemed to be aligned and finally took off.
Yeah. I just think California's going to be so interesting, Sean, because you hit on it a little bit there, right? It's that – when we pretty recently, it was like, if you were a California kid, you're probably going to USC, right? Like you're going to like that, right? Like Stanford had its presence when they were at their peak. UCLA had their presence at some points, right? Like, but right now USC doesn't really recruit high school very well. UCLA is in a very tough transition. Mm-hmm. Washington is in a transition. They are always going to be a little bit of a threat in Cali. I don't know if you, Sean, last week I had Max Torres, who covers the Oregon Ducks on over at SI. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, you know, that right now Oregon has a huge presence in California, like huge, probably the biggest of any program out West. And right now Notre Dame has a chance to dip into the talent pool of California because none of the California teams are recruiting at a very high level in the States. So you need to go there and beat Oregon more than anything. You need to beat Alabama going out to California for like the Peyton Woodyards of the world, right? Like that's the competition that you have for Cali right now. But now that USC is not recruiting at a high level in the state, UCLA is down. Washington is going into a tough transition after Kalen DeBoer left. Like you need to go out into Cali and get some dudes. And that's all me saying is that I think 2026. And again, Brandon made a great point. Notre Dame has dipped into Cali, and they've had success in Cali over the years, historically. But I think that volume is what we're talking about 2026. I wouldn't be shocked if you get 5 to 6 guys in 2026 out of the state of California. Like, I think that's possible, man. Just kind of the early names that we're hearing out there. So I think 2026, California could be a huge state. Florida, I think, is going to be another big state. Yeah. You got to dip into Texas and get some talent there. Georgia, anytime you get into Georgia over the last few years, that would be great as well. The big dogs are big again in 2026, those huge states. And Notre Dame, I think, is going to have to be able to have an impact in those states in 2026.
And remember what we said, sometimes you have to be happy for the losses because there's a big picture to it in recruiting, right? As devastating as losing Keon was, Keon committing and Keon speaking the way he did about Notre Dame opens the door to a Dallas Golden, opens the door to the other kids in 26. It brings attention. Yeah. Like you have, like, look, you lost Justin Scott, right?
Yep.
Burgess is watching. These 26 kids, we've been talking on the D-line, they're watching. Like, oh, snap, Notre Dame was in it. Like, they were the leader at one point. Like, this is recruiting, man, especially when you're building. You can't be afraid to lose. And that's one thing I can say. Marcus Freeman has never been scared on the recruiting trail. And he knows that other things had to be developed within the foundation of the program to finally close the deal on certain guys.
Yep.
But, hey, like what we're seeing now, the loss of a Peyton Bowen, now in the 25 class, it's like, oh, now they're starting to get some of these big-time safeties. Like, okay, and what's the next step in 26? Like, do they – heck, Jadon Blair is still on the table in 25. Like, if they get him, you know, can you count that as, you know, a byproduct of – being there at the finish line for a Peyton Bourne and having eyes on Notre Dame and being part of the story of the debacle. Yeah. And even though it didn't matters. Go your way, it all matters. This is the minutia of college football recruiting. And I would love, I'm going to tell you something. If I would love to be in the room, right? Like that's my dream. I would love to be a fly on the wall in draft board rooms the days before the NFL draft and like weeks before Pot of Gold.
But Sean, you already know what it's like, where, man. Have you not seen Draft Day? You know exactly what it's like. I say very sarcastically.
Oh my God. That the way it went in Draft Day would never happen like that.
Oh no. That's nothing. I love that movie because it's so ridiculous, but that's nothing. I do
believe there are some GMs in the National Football League that are football dumb, intelligent individuals, but football dumb. So maybe you get one, but to get two,
No.
You know the funniest part is when he's asked by the GM, what's wrong with Bo?
Yeah. What's wrong with him? Yeah. Why's he dropping? What's wrong with Bo?
If you have to ask that question on the day of, then you have an evaluation problem.
if and also someone wouldn't be asking another general manager like, hey, you got a level with me. What's wrong with Bo Callahan? Like, you don't ask another general manager that.
Like he's going to tell you the full truth of what he's thinking.
As he's trying to make a trade with you, right? Like, yeah, that's not good. That's not, yeah, that wouldn't happen. That absolutely would not happen. Yes, that movie is ridiculous. It's awesome though. I watch it every single year because it's hilarious and it's entertaining. But yes, Draft Day is not at all what a draft room war room is like. I agree 100%. But Sean, a quick note that you made, and I think that it's 100%, is I remember talking to Dallas Golden when he got first offer when he was a sophomore. I asked him, I was like, oh, has Keon been putting in work with you, like talking to you? And he's like, yeah, man, he's been talking to me about Notre Dame all the time. So you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong in that sense. It obviously didn't work out with Keon, but did that make a great early impression on Dallas Golden? Yeah, absolutely did. And we still feel great about where Notre Dame is with Dallas Golden. So, yeah, feel really good about it. All right, Sean, a couple positions of strength and a couple that look like a little bit weaker. We talked about quarterback, right? Do we need to keep going about quarterback? Quarterback in 2026 looks
amazing.
Looks dope. Yeah. I mean, if Notre Dame ended up with Ryder Lyons, the quarterback out of Folsom, or they ended up with Brady Smigel, the quarterback out of California, or they ended up with Noah Grubbs out of Florida or Brady Hart out of Florida, would I complain at all? Absolutely not. And I said it again, 2025, I thought was a very good quarterback class, especially at the top. But there were a couple kids that were on the board for Notre Dame where I would have been like, a little disappointed if that's who they end up with. Like a little bit. Like Cutter Bowley is the guy. Like, I'm like, and he ended up reclassifying the 2024, so it didn't even matter. But like every year there was one or two guys on the board potentially that you're like, I don't know if I'd be like jacked about that one. Like, I don't know if that would do it for me. 2026, there's really not a guy on the board right now that I'd be like, oh man, I don't like that. I don't see it with that kid. Like, they're all different, right, Sean? The great thing is Ryder Lyons is much more of the out of structure athlete type of dude. Mm-hmm. Brady Smigel is more of the in the pocket type of dude. Noah Grubbs is in the same mold of a Brady Smigel, more of an in the pocket dude. Brady Hart's got kind of, he's a pocket kid, but he's got a little bit of that like sway to him as far as being able to move out of the pocket and such, right? Like, he's got a little bit more of that. Will Griffin, who has been offered by Notre Dame early out of Tampa Jesuits, more of the dual threat-ish, sort of like a Ryder Lyon. So you have a really different mix of quarterbacks. It's not like a one-size-fits-all. You have different types, which I think makes the conversation pretty interesting.
It goes back to, I just love people that want to do their job, Double R. That's it. As a coach, you get paid millions to teach and develop. That's it. Here we have a nation full of our most important teachers and developers that don't get paid. They are grossly underpaid.
I literally made a career change partly because of that. Yes. Yep.
And then we come to sports, and the guys that get paid millions to teach and develop don't want to do the job. Right. they get lazy with the job. Like, if you're not this type of kid, I don't want you. Coach, it's your job to make them better.
Yep.
It is amazing. And I love the fact that what we're seeing in recruiting, all the quarterbacks are totally different.
Yes.
Have different traits.
Yep.
But yet and still, it's like, yo, I can work with that. That's what Denbrock and Gadooly are saying. I can work with that. I can work with that.
You know what's hilarious, Sean, is they're all different, you know, different body types, different play styles, but they're all from California or Florida. Right? It's like, that's where it is, right? So quarterback board is nutty in 2025. I literally wrote that on the rundown. I said quarterback class is nutty, word for word. It's a nutty class in 2026. Running back class, Sean, too. Again, we can't talk about too many of these guys, because several will be added to the board on Sunday. Jonas Walton is the only one that's on the board right now for Notre Dame, who's a very talented player in his own right. But running back class, compared especially to 2025, which I thought was an okay running back class, I think 2026 has a lot of good running backs, man. So expect running backs to be a very interesting board. And I would say this, of the two weaker classes that I've seen so far, and again, this will change as I watch more players, as I get a little bit deeper, as they develop going into their junior year and afterwards. But I thought linebacker class and offensive line class looks a little bit, it's okay. It's a little bit down, in my opinion.
Double R, because we talked about Notre Dame, its independence, and how it impacts every area, right? And right. How they have to start early in recruiting. The nuance of that. Like, yes. There are certain positions within Notre Dame where they can make an impact with a later offer on a kid. Like, if you offer an offensive lineman, if a Notre Dame offer comes to a young man as an offensive lineman, whatever it comes, it hits. Yes. It makes an impact.
Like, whoa, I got offered by Notre Dame as an offensive lineman? Right, exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. It hits. Yep. And so that's the nuance of it. Like, there are certain positions still within the program where, I don't want to say slow walk it, but they can afford. And I think now the running back position at Notre Dame could quite possibly become a position where, if they like a kid early, they can offer the kid, get on the kid. But, you know, Dylan McCullough is audacious, man. He really is. Like, you know, you talked about, I don't know if there's a realistic chance, but I mean, heck, James Simon still has them in his top six, eight, whatever's.
Right.
You know, and that was Dylan jumped in that fray a little bit later than most people. But that running back offer from Notre Dame is starting to become like, oh, snap.
Yep.
I got a running back offer from Notre Dame. Yeah. And it's interesting watching that, the nuance of Notre Dame jumping out early, but still in certain positions, being able to kind of like be a little bit more delayed.
Mm-hmm.
In their approach, and then be audacious to say, you know what? Let's see what's up with this kid. We already got two kids in the class, but let's just see.
Let's just see. Yeah. The greatest example I think last year, Sean, was David Sanders was never going to come to Notre Dame, the 2025 kid. But you know what offer he wanted from the beginning that he was petitioning for was Notre Dame because it matters, right? Like that offer matters to offensive linemen. Brandon said tight end as well as a position where it's like that matters. And for sure, 100%. I mean, I think that a lot of what the past tight ends, including Michael Mayer, did at Notre Dame is like that resonates with kids, right? So I think that tight end was another one. Tight end is also good mention, Brandon, because I think 2026 tight end class is it's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. Again, not dropping names, but just telling you, expect some very talented tight ends offered on the board. Expect some very talented running backs, quarterbacks, good year. Defensive line looks pretty good early on as well. Again, I thought the offensive line, at least from what I've seen, hit or miss for me, right? I think that linebacker was another one that I was kind of like, I don't know. Maybe not the best one overall, but
early on, what you say is more interior O-line than tackle O-line in 26, or is across the board?
I would say it's kind of across the board. Now, don't get me wrong about this, though. There was a couple studs up top. We'll talk about one on Monday specifically that is one of the best offensive line prospects I've ever seen.
Told me that early.
I guess I shouldn't say his name because he might be a part of the event. But like,
you
guys can do some research and probably figure out who I'm talking about. But absolute freak show, man. Absolute. Yeah. So. Those are some of the notes. So, Sean, 2026, anything to add, or are we almost ready to get out of here?
No, 26 class is a continuation of what we think could possibly be the best class that Marcus Freeman has assembled at Notre Dame in the 25 class. And like we said, they're finally going full force into the top four areas, you know, where you get the best recruits on a consistent basis, which is Florida, Georgia, Texas, and California. You're seeing the mass offers and the mass connections that are being established. I think that one of the things that was kind of a precursor to that was that extended trip they took out to California during the open period as a staff. Like that was very, very important. And so that's when they got to see a Ryder Lyons up close and personal, a Brady Smigel up close and personal. And so just small things like that lead to what we're going to be able to see, you know, in these offers coming up on Sunday. I'm sorry.
Well, and I think a thing that we forgot to mention, and we'll end it here, Sean, is that also I would even say something like getting Kingston Villiamoasa out of St. John Bosco. Like, what ripple does that have on the St. John Bosco program that Notre Dame hasn't been able to get into? Is Notre Dame able to penetrate modern day coming into the 2026 class? Like, there's a lot of potential here. Again, abbreviated notes, rolling through it real quick for the people that just joined late. The Big Four, Georgia, Texas, Florida, and Georgia and California expect Notre Dame to extend a lot of offers to those kids. Over half of the offers we expect on Sunday to be from those four states specifically. A little bit of a smaller of offer list to the home state players. So a little bit of a smaller number of Illinois and Indiana kids. Quarterback class is nutty. I'm Ryan Roberts. That's Sean Davis. Again, folks, Monday, we will be back for Notre Dame Recruiting Hour because we're going to recap the weekend's festivities. Make sure you hit that like button for us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, notification bell if you listen to us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, 5-star reviews are always very much appreciated. We appreciate you all so much, as always, for joining us on a live show. And we will talk to you again very soon here on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.